Good morning, Valley Brook.
Good morning.
Special guests, celebrities all, welcome to another Sunday in the new year of 2016. God bless you. And it is a privilege to be here with you, and we are excited about what God is doing already this year and what he has planned for us for the remainder of the year. And I do want to say thank you, Pam and ladies of Argonne Chapel, for just allowing us to be a blessing. Amen. It is a blessing for us to be a blessing. Thank you. Also, for the couples retreat that Donna was speaking of, yes, we have gone. My wife and I have gone. We've gone, what, 8 years in a row? 7 or 8 years in a row we've gone. And we have enjoyed it every year. But we look at it a little bit differently than just attending a conference for the weekend. There is that. But it's a weekend that we feel is an investment in our marriage. It's just a time for us to say, this is for our marriage this weekend. And whether we go to one session or all the sessions, that weekend is dedicated to our relationship. So that's kind of how we look at it, but the material is outstanding. The speakers are fabulous. They personalize the material with their own stories, their own testimonies, so it's not dry and boring. And they have audio-visual inserts into it. Everything is just a wonderful time, but it's very personal, very practical, very spiritual. And we have found it to be very, very helpful. So if you are more interested, if you are interested in more details about that, please do see Donna and please consult the bulletin, or you can talk to my wife and I, and we would be happy to tell you about our experiences going. So thank you, worship team, for this wonderful worship set this morning. Thank you all so much. We very much enjoyed that, even leaning. Some folks were leaning left. Some folks are leaning right, so it's kind of like this when I'm in the lean. But some people are standing still, but it doesn't really matter, because whichever way we lean, he is there.
Amen.
Even when we are standing straight and still, he is there. So we got the point. Thank you all so much. I'm going to ask you to stand up now and give each other a warm Valley Brook greeting, and then we are going to get into our message. So stand and say hello to your neighbor and greet them in the name of the Lord. Thank you. thank you that you have put the praises in our heart, the praises in our mouth. You've given us a new song. You've changed the way that we think about you. You've changed the way that we experience you. You've changed the way, Lord, that we talk about you. You have made us, Lord, your beloved children. We speak of you as our heavenly Father, as our glorious Savior, as our magnificent Lord. We acknowledge this morning that you are the living one. That you were dead, and now you are alive forevermore. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. We look forward to the day, Lord, when your word says every eye will see you, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We thank you for removing the fear of that day.
Thank you, Lord.
And turned it into a welcoming and a welcomed event for us. And we pray that as we, Lord, spend this time now together in your word, that your Holy Spirit would minister to each of our hearts, Lord, in the ways that you know we need it most, and, Lord, in surprisingly fresh ways. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may behold wonderful things from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This morning's message is titled, Protecting Our Greatest Resource. Protecting Our Greatest Resource. We've spent all of December talking about the gift of the gospel. All of December we looked at what it is that we've been given in Christ. What did the death and resurrection of Christ entitle us to? What is the gospel? What is so good about the good news? And we were thrilled by how little of it we have really grasped and how much more of it there is for us to know. We're delighted by what God has shown us, but there's so much more, and a month is not enough to talk about the good news of the gospel. But neither would be a year. Or 2 years. Or 10 years. And in fact, eternity would not be long enough. So we got a sampling in December of what is this gift of the gospel and what it is that God has done for us. This month, we're going to be talking about the healthy output of his love for us. As the Lord has embraced us and has filled us up with the good things of the kingdom of God, what is the output? Where does it go? You know, you eat, there's an output. It's turned into something. It turns into energy, it turns into muscle, it turns into hair, it turns into stuff. Okay? That's better.
Yeah.
That
word. Thank you,
guys. So what is the output? And the healthy output is our greatest resource. And that output, as you know, is love. And so this month we're talking about what that looks like, what it means, because it's important for us to not only hear that we should be loving, but to know what that means, how it looks on a day-to-day basis. So this morning's message is called Protecting Our Greatest Resource. It's our greatest resource because according to 1 Corinthians 13, without it, we are nothing but noisy gongs and clanging cymbals. No matter what spirituality we may think we have, without this precious resource, the scripture says we are nothing. It doesn't matter how much we know. Doesn't matter how many Bible verses we've memorized. It doesn't matter how many people we talk to about Jesus. It does not matter how many songs we sing. It doesn't matter how many meetings we attend. It doesn't matter at all what our spiritual pedigree may be. It doesn't matter how many titles we have. None of that matters if we don't have this precious resource. And 1 Corinthians 13 isn't the only place that this is emphasized. James says that if you're wise, show it by your good behavior, your deeds of love in humility. Everything else is not wisdom from above, it says. Without it, it's not wisdom from above. It's earthly. It's natural. It's demonic.
My Lord.
So love is our most precious resource. And you better believe that the evil one knows that. And so what the evil one wants to do is to disrupt, to destroy, to contaminate our most precious resource. And so this morning we want to talk about protecting our greatest resource. So if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, we're going to look at our text passage. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, starting in verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Let me stop there for just a moment. Be joyful in hope. Don't let life get you down. Don't let life untrack you, derail you, bog you down in your pursuit of kingdom things.
All right, come
and
on,
in particular, your pursuit of love.
All right, come on.
Be joyful in hope. I was meditating on this personally this week, and I'm going to go on. But I jotted down in my journal something that I think is important for us to keep in mind in order to be joyful in hope. And so I said, so Thomas saw the resurrected Christ, and he touched him, and he believed. But then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Yes, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus. And I wrote, it's a greater blessing to have never seen Jesus and yet to believe in him. The grace that powers this belief is of a quality that those who walked with Jesus did not enjoy until after Jesus returned to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit to permanently indwell every believer.
Yes.
So though we may be tempted to think those who physically walked with Jesus had a spiritual advantage over those of us who must do so by faith, according to Jesus, they did not.
Amen.
And that is why he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. There is a special grace that is given that has made that belief palpable. That even though they don't see him, they believe in him, and they're filled with a glorious and inexpressible joy because of this gift from above that is given to those who put their faith in Christ. And it is implemented by the Holy Spirit. And so those of us who are walking around believing in Jesus, it's not because we're smart. And it's not because we figured it out. It's because we've been blessed by God through the Holy Spirit to believe that he's the risen one. And because we believe he is the risen one, we can be joyful in hope no matter what is going on. We can fix our hope on him. It says, patient, going on in verse 12. Patient in affliction. Where you are right now is not a forever place. So we can be patient in affliction when we realize, Lord, this spot, if it is a spot of difficulty and darkness, if it's a place that I'd rather not be in, this is not a forever place. That's for sure. And so while I'm here, Lord, while I'm here, let me receive the full benefit of this place. Let me receive all that you want to be to me in this place. Because I'm not going to be here forever. And I am here. This is a faith opportunity that you have given me that will pass away when I'm no longer in this place.
Amen.
So while I'm here, I'm only going to be here for a while because you're faithful.
Please. Come on.
Because every other dark place that I've been in has been a temporary place.
Amen.
This place
Amen.
Is a temporary. So while I'm here,
Amen.
I want to be patient
Hallelujah.
In this affliction by receiving who you want to be to me in this place at this time.
Amen.
Oh, this place is a sanctuary, Lord.
Yeah.
Right here. This is a sanctuary as glorious as any I've ever been in.
Amen.
Because wherever you are, it's a sanctuary.
Amen.
And you're here with me
Amen.
At every place. And at every place that I'm in, there can be a worship experience.
Yes. Yes.
When I set my heart on seeking and receiving who you want to be to me in that place.
Amen.
So patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And then it goes on, verse 13, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil.
My Lord.
Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty,
that's hard, Lord.
It is hard, Lord. Jesus, help.
Yeah.
Help
somebody that you're just having a hard time with. Let's say that. Says it's your enemy.
Yeah.
So that includes those who are actively trying to destroy you.
Jesus.
And everyone less than that.
Mm.
All the way down to those who simply irritate you. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
We love because he first loved us.
Yes.
Now you know why we wanted to talk about all the good things we have in Jesus first. Before we move into this whole thing about love. Because we need some Jesus to
do
this.
Yeah.
We need some fill up to pour out this. Because these are not suggestions from the Lord. These are directives from our Lord to us. Now, as I look at this, more than giving a checklist for these believers, I believe what Paul is doing is describing a church culture here. He's giving them the flavor of, this is the kind of church I want you all to be, Romans. Be this kind of church. And he spells it out for them. I crawled into bed last night. And my wife asked me how prep for today's message was going. And I told her, I said, it's a grind. I'm struggling. And I said, I may have to just get up tomorrow and stand before the people and say, the Lord bless thee and keep thee and give thee peace. Amen. And say, let's go to prayer and dismiss everybody. And she immediately went to prayer for me. Started praying out loud. Help him, Jesus. And see, when I read this passage, this is a description of you all. This, as I read it, is Valley Brook.
Amen.
And I told my wife, when I said it's a grind, I said it with a smile. And I pulled the covers up because I was thinking, what a great problem. When I look at these verses, I see Valley Brook faces. When I look at these verses, the positive aspects of it, I see you all. And like, for example, live in harmony. When it says live in harmony, it means you can disagree without being disagreeable. That's what living in harmony means. If you think of it in terms of musical notes, different musical notes can produce harmony. They can produce dissonance or discord. Dissonance means that it's yet to be resolved, but we're working on it. It's kind of out there. Harmony is that pleasing sound that you get when the worship team breaks out in sanctuaries. They were singing and they break out into parts. That's harmony. Discord is the thing you don't want. That's that off note. It makes you frown. Or if you're looking out in the audience, it's the note that you hit and the audience goes. That's discord. Or that note you sing and somebody who was pleasantly inattentive, all of a sudden looks up. No. Or if mom is in audience and you happen to be singing, you hit it. Mom just keeps on smiling. You can't tell. Don't look at Mom. She won't tell you nothing. She's going to applaud you no matter what. Harmony. Someone called me up the other day with a complaint. Valley Brook member. Called me up with a complaint, concerned about something. And they were specific about it, which I always appreciate. But they were so, it was so dripping in love that I almost dropped the phone. It was so slippery with love because they were so humble and so deferential and so concerned as to not want to be a problem. Not wanting to be a fly in the ointment or a stick in the mud or cast aspersions on anyone. Harmony. Harmony means you can be different. In fact, harmony demands difference.
Amen.
You cannot have harmony without difference.
Amen.
So it's not about everybody thinking the same thing.
That's right.
Or wanting to approach things the same way. It's not everybody walking in lockstep mindlessness.
That's right.
It has to do with your spirit. It has to do with the way you are approaching the difference. You see, when you're harmonizing with someone, you respect what you're hearing coming from the other person.
Amen.
You recognize that, boy, their voice is as important as my voice if we're going to have harmony. And the goal then is to blend, not to stand out, not to drown out the other person. To hear one another. So I was very pleased by that person calling up and being honest. But that person was just a token, a representative of the kind of spirit that I see and that I experience all the time with you all. Says love must be sincere without hypocrisy, as another example. And I had lunch with one of my fellow elders, Brother Bill, and as we were sitting there eating lunch, he told me how he passionately wants more of what he's experiencing in his relationship with the Lord. He told me that he read this past week's view, and it just blessed his spirit. He said, your place, brother, blesses my place in the Lord. And gives my place life. And I passionately want more of what I'm enjoying in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I was so touched by that. I went back and I wrote down in my journal, I said I had lunch with a fellow elder, and I said with Brother Bill, and he told me he passionately wants more of what he's enjoying is relationship with Christ. And I said, I'm so blessed to be surrounded by leaders who are more focused on Christ
Amen.
Than on the status of being a leader.
Amen.
Now, I know from personal experience, acquired from years of church, that it doesn't have to be that way.
Amen.
It doesn't have to be that way. So, it's a blessing from above to have harmony. It's a blessing from above to have love that is not hypocritical. I often think about how the sparks of discord will find no dry brush here. And it doesn't take long for people to recognize that this is not a place where gossip's gonna burn.
Amen.
This is not a place where slander is gonna get a lot of air. The culture has been established of love.
Amen.
And I'm not making it up.
Amen.
I'm speaking about what I as a pastor and my fellow elders, what we experience in shepherding you all.
Amen.
See, a message doesn't always have to be hitting you over the head. Sometimes it can be very affirming.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to affirm you that when I read Romans 12, I see your faces. And it created a struggle for me to figure out, well, what do I say to them? Those are just a couple examples. In verse 10, it says, honor one another above yourselves. And there are more examples of that than I have time to tell.
Amen.
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 So the problem that created the grind, simply stated, as I said to my wife, it's a grind. The problem that was creating the grind was the question, how do I instruct experts? This is Valley Brook. And you're all excelling in this. But I read somewhere after you give somebody a compliment, you're not supposed to say but. Because it diminishes the compliment and focuses them on the pending criticism. You're supposed to say and. But I'm not going to use and I'm not going to follow that rule because what I'm about to say isn't a criticism, it's an exhortation. And I do want you to pay attention to it. And I found it in 1 Thessalonians where Paul was addressing a church just like Valley Brook who was excelling in love. And he said these words, 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 and 10. I'm just going to quote it, but you can write the reference down. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 and 10. He says, now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. Or one translation says, to excel still more. To go beyond where you are. And so if you're taking notes, the main idea this morning that I want you to take away is be on guard for contaminants that taint our love supply. Be on guard for contaminants that taint our love supply. I want to give you three in this passage. Three precautions. And the first one is in verse 9. It says, hate what is evil. Brothers and sisters, to guard our love supply, to protect what God has so graciously given us, that we share with one another. The thing that makes Valley Brook a special place, that a blessing from above where love reigns. And I don't feel like I need to stand up here every week and say, y'all stop doing that to one another. Or let us not be this way towards one another. How do we protect this precious resource that the Lord has given us and continues to cultivate among us so that those who come in feel it palpably and say, this is a special place. Hate what is evil. Now, in the context, he's not talking about go home and start sifting through all of your sins. In the context, he's talking about evil are those things that create discord, those things that create unlove. Go to war on them, whether they're attitudes, actions, whatever it is. Hate what is evil. Don't let it fester. Don't let it root. Hate what is evil. The second thing, it says, keep your spiritual fervor. And that's in verse 11. Number one, hate what is evil, from verse 9. Number two, keep your spiritual fervor. fervor. In other words, stay diligent in your love. Don't get lazy about loving.
Come on, guys.
Don't get lazy. Keep your spiritual fervor. Keep hot. You know, many times when you read that, you're thinking about, stay hot in your relationship with the Lord. And that is, of course, essential. But what he's speaking about is keep your spiritual fervor. Keep the intensity of your love hot. Don't let your guard down. Don't think you got it made. Don't think, oh, we've arrived. Stay on your guard. Stay fervent. Keep your spiritual fervor. Our vision for 2016 is steadfastness. Stay steadfast in the things that God has given us. As you remember in 2014, the three things that we talked about, God, use whatever we're going through here as a church to help us to know you better. Use it to help us to know you better. Number two was, help us, Lord, use this thing to help us to love one another more. Whatever the crisis, whatever the conflict, whatever the problem, use it to help us to love one another more. And of course, the third one was, Lord, use this to develop the gifts that are in our church, to help each one of us to have a clearer picture of what it is you're calling us to. We prayed about those things, and we built this altar in our strategic faith launch, where we came up and we put our names on stones and put the stones in this tray here. Put our stones in the tray here in order for us to come together collectively to say, this is what we want you to do, Lord. Well, my exhortation to you is keep your spiritual fervor, remain steadfast in what God has given us. And number three, it says, overcome evil with good, verses 14, really, and some of the verses that follow are speaking primarily about people who despise or mistreat you because of your faith. You know, being mistreated on the job, maybe, because of your faith, or in your neighborhood, or with your family. But the instruction here is take the love offensive. Pray for them. Serve them. Not necessarily to win their favor, because that may not happen.
Amen. Amen.
But you do it to protect your own heart.
Yes. Amen.
You do it to protect your own heart because you do not want to go to the places that unlove will take you.
Amen.
You don't want to go there. You know, it may be easier to follow the path of unlove because love is hard. And so it's easier to acquiesce and be dragged along by all the sentiments of unlove that are described here. Envy and jealousy and wanting to get revenge and all of these things, wanting to harbor evil thoughts towards. That's easy.
Yes.
But it will take you where you don't want to go.
Amen.
Anybody say amen? Amen? Has anybody ever been led to a positive place by dwelling on unloving thoughts?
No.
Or trying to execute an evil plan? Or seeking revenge? Has that ever led you to a place where you sat back and thought, yeah? Because even if it succeeded, your spirit has been damaged.
Amen.
Even if you got the person and they're groveling at your feet, something's not right about it.
Amen.
It's not a victory.
Yes.
It's a compromise. Mm. And your spirit is sullied. Mm. Unlove will never take us where we want to go.
Please.
So don't be overcome with evil. Even though it's easier and it's more difficult, do this instead. You know, and I love the scriptures because the Lord doesn't just say, sit back and try not to. Try not to give in. It says, don't be overcome. How? How can I not be overcome? It says, overcome evil with good. Take the offensive. Don't sit back and white knuckle it. Hold it on to the edge of the table saying, Lord, help me not to hit him. Lord, help me not to curse her out. Help me not to go there, Lord. That only works for a while. Amen? And then there's an eruption. There I go. There's an explosion. I've been holding back, but you done got on my last nerve now. And here it comes. And that damn that you had your little finger in trying to hold back, that collapses. And what comes out? So my wife got really, she doesn't get angry very often, but when she does, this demon voice comes out. It's like a voice I've never heard before. It comes way down here. You don't want to hear that voice. I've heard it maybe twice. Maybe. I think 1.5 times.
But you remember it though, don't you?
Yes, I do. I do remember it. But for the most part, she is very good at being able to not be overcome, but to overcome it with good. Take the offensive. You're not going to want to go there because your flesh is going to say, I'd rather be mad. I'd rather stay here because the flesh loves it. But your flesh is not your friend. Your flesh is not your friend. You see, the flesh is at war with the spirit. And so you're literally letting your enemy talk you into something when you give into your flesh.
Yes, tell it. Tell it.
So don't be overcome with evil. Overcome evil with good. Even as in the workplace, some of you are struggling there because you've got bosses that are not very smart. And I mean they're not smart because any book that you read, whether it's the Bible or any kind of a management book, says take care of your people. Smart people take care of their people. They don't mistreat them. You get a better product by caring for your people. That's like business 101, but there's some bosses that don't get it. And some of you have bosses like that. Don't be overcome with evil. It applies to them too. Not just to your church family. Yes, quitting is an option. And praying that God would move them on is an option. Nothing wrong with praying that God would move them out. Move them along, Lord. Bring somebody else. And let there be peace on earth. Yes, that's perfectly legitimate to pray them on. But while they remain, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me give you another one. People sometimes say this, and this is a personal pet peeve of mine. Maybe you've heard it. Or maybe you've said it. Somebody's in a room with you. Maybe you haven't seen them in a while, or you saw them, you know, recently or something, and they pass you by without saying something to you. And you say, can't you speak? I don't like that. I don't like that. It's some sort of a litmus test. Why don't you speak?
Yeah.
Even if you think I'm being malicious, speak to me. And then you'll know whether I'm really trying to ignore you or not. And if I look at you and go, now you know that I didn't want to speak to you. You don't have to wonder. So take the initiative and speak. See, that's petty.
Yeah, it is.
That's petty. Whether you're in the church or whether you're out, don't let stuff wet your wick. Snuff out your light. Most of all, remember, people are never the enemy.
Amen.
Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood.
Amen.
People are never the enemy. They can be manipulated by the enemy, but they're never the enemy. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood.
Amen. Amen.
So recognize the greater warfare that's going on.
Yes, sir.
And then we choose different weapons when we recognize the greater warfare.
Amen.
When we think it's of the flesh, we use weapons of flesh. But when we think and realize that this is a bigger spiritual issue, it takes us to a different place.
Amen.
So keeping these things in mind, let us protect our most precious resource.
Mm-hmm.
I am done. Now, I'm going to ask the elders to come up here. We're going to do something very different. It's our Care Through Prayer Sunday. And I'm going to ask the elders to come up here on stage with me on the platform here. And we are going to ask you to stand where you are and hold the hand of the person next to you. And we are going to pray for you as we do every second Sunday. We are going to pray for you and ask the Lord's blessing upon your week, your month, and your life. So elders, come forward. Grab the hand of a person next to you. I was going to have you all circle the sanctuary, but no. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for every man and woman, and if there are any children in this sanctuary, thank you, Lord, for every one of them. Thank you for placing your Holy Spirit inside each one who has placed their faith in you. Lord, we are standing here together in our common acknowledgement that we need you.
Yes.
Whatever it is, Lord, that we are facing in our lives at this time, we acknowledge, Lord, that you are the one who will make it, who can intervene, change it, rearrange it, remove us from it, or give us the grace to endure it.
Mm.
Lord, there are people who are standing here right now who are dealing with family issues. All of us, Lord, in one way or another, are dealing with some kind of family issue. But for some, there are issues that are weighing heavily on their hearts. And I pray that you would help them, Lord, to turn it over to you, to recognize, Lord, that you can go places that their words cannot go, that you can have influence beyond their influence, that you can use people who are not a part of the equation to cause it to add up to what you want it to add up. Lord, you have unlimited resources, and for those who are burdened by family issues, I pray that their faith would rest not on their own wisdom,
yes,
not on their own strategies,
yes,
not on their schemes, not on their pleading, not on their explaining.
Mm. Yes.
Oh, Lord, that their faith would rest on you.
Yes.
And that they would be willing instruments, Lord, to participate or to not participate in the process as you do your work. So I pray for your peace upon those, Lord, whose hearts are heavy this morning or whose minds are filled with concern about their family members, whether it's a spouse or a child or a relative that is a cousin or an uncle, whoever it may be. My prayer is for their peace.
Lord, we
But I agree with my brother here this morning. It is so difficult not to worry. You tell us over and over, you told the disciples, do not worry. I remember the story of the storm, and they were on a boat, Lord, and you were fast asleep. That always amazes me. And they woke you, and he said, what's the matter with you guys? What's wrong with you? I'm here. Lord, help us to remember that you're here.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you for Pastor preaching about my job. Oh, Jesus. In my mind, I had all these plans of going to EOC and put that, and I just, yesterday even, Lord, you just calmed me and said, Michael.
Thank you, Jesus.
Calm down, brother. Have I not always provided for you? Do you not have food today?
Yes, Jesus.
Do you have clothes to wear? Did you not pay your rent? Mortgage rather this month? Did you not have a car to drive? And have I not been faithful to do this for you for 66 years?
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Have you ever missed a meal under my care?
Thank you, Jesus.
So thank you. I can come to a place where there's truth being taught to me all the time. Like Pastor said this morning, you're reminding me that I can trust you. And that I don't have to worry.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I pray for those that are sick in the body this morning.
Yes, Jesus.
Help them to see you as a healer.
Yes, Lord.
Those that get it twisted, that are looking for something else to heal them other than you.
Mm-hmm.
Help them to bow down, look at you, and understand that you are the ultimate physician.
Yes, you are, Jesus.
So we thank you this morning for healing our church.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, you did.
Lord, I see my fellow pastor up here today. Jim.
Yes.
Had a heart attack on the stage.
Yes.
He stroke with it. He's standing here.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah. The doctor told me I might die. And I'm standing here.
Yes,
Lord, so we can trust you. Thank you that we believe as a body that we can trust you and that all that you did last year, we give thanks for that.
Yes, we do.
And so if there's any here that are struggling with you as a healer, I pray increase their faith.
Yes.
If any are worrying about a situation, Lord, that they are beyond their control, help them to believe in you.
Yes.
Transfer trust from self to you this morning.
Thank you.
Yes, Jesus.
And we trust you that that would happen in Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, thank you so much for letting each one of us here this morning be here. Because we didn't have to be here this morning. We're only here because of your grace and your mercy. Father God, thank you for letting us come to a place where the most important thing is evident.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, you let me experience that. I thank you for that stroke. I thank you for letting me see your face in each one of the faces in this place. I thank you for the love that was shown to me and my family. I thank you for the love that was shown to me for my wife. Father, sometimes all we need is to come to a place where somebody will tell you how. People will tell you what you're supposed to do, but they won't tell you how. And I thank you, God, for giving us a pastor that has lived a life and is close to you so that he can interpret all that for us and tell us the how. Oh, God, thank you for the love in this place this morning. Not only this morning, Lord, but Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. It don't make no difference when we see each other. It don't make no difference when we're by ourselves or not. Not the time it better counts. Oh, Father, I pray for each person here this morning. Pastor prayed a prayer and he gave us a service this morning that God is using in each one of us. Oh, God, let each one of us here what that tiny voice you put in us are telling us this morning from this service. Let us take it, Lord. Let us feast on it because it's food. Food for our souls. And Father, I just want to say one thing. It's all about you. It's all about our living Savior, Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
And Father, we want to remember to give you all. I say all the glory. All the praise. And God, we just want to tell you that we are so blessed to have you be who you are to us this morning.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you in the name of Jesus for all we feel, each one of us.
Yes.
Thank you in the name of Jesus this morning for all your mercy and your grace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to have our final song, right? Benediction that is from the view from my place that I wrote this past Wednesday. From my perspective as a pastor, the work of Sunday really begins on Monday. It's the work of making the truths implanted in the Lord's people a practical reality and a difference maker in their daily life. But that's not my work. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, who resides in and accompanies his people wherever they go. My follow-up work is to support and assist him with prayer and love. So, in this week to come, I want you to know what blessing I am praying for you. I pray that the Lord would bless your favorite faith access points and rendezvous spots with him as you seek him. Yes.
That whatever is your favorite approach to connecting with him, that he would expand it and deepen it. That you would not only taste and see that the Lord is good, but that you may experience him as even better than good. That ministry and love rooted in your growing intimacy with him would flow freely from within and blossom and spread whenever, wherever, and with whomever in accordance with his magnificent purposes for you. May you realize, dear brother or sister, if our heart's desire is to deepen our understanding of what we have in Christ, we cannot do it wrong. But it can always be greater. There are always more floors and doors and passageways in him that he can reveal to us. And it is that ongoing revelation that defines the eternal life that we've been given. So may you feel drawn by his power to the greater invitation to more of himself that he extends to all of us. May your launch of this blessed new year be powered by hope in him.
Now may the grace of God and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with each of us now and forever. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Love you all. Have a great week. And we will see you next week.